Hey everybody, in today's episode, I'm going to be walking you through a grade 6 invasion games lesson that is purposeful, intentional, and directly aligned to student learning outcomes. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, I hope you're doing great. My name is Joey Fite. I'm the founder of thephysicaleducator.com and a PE instructional coach here in beautiful Kentville, Nova Scotia. Welcome back to the Phys Ed Show podcast. Now, in today's episode, what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be walking you through a standards-based lesson that I designed. So this lesson is a grade 6 lesson that was focused on introducing students to offensive invasion game tactics and helping them kind of explore how they can use those tactics to create space while on offense. Now, this isn't just a lesson that I wrote up. This is an actual lesson that I've run before. And if you know anything about my current career status, I'm not teaching right now. So you might be wondering, how did you go and run this lesson? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was honored to be asked to keynote the 2022 TAPE conference, so the Phys Ed Association here in Nova Scotia. It was their 50th anniversary conference, and I really wanted to go in there and just help teachers make sense of how to work with their provincial outcomes. So here in Nova Scotia, there were revised provincial outcomes that came out in 2019, 2020, so you can kind of imagine that. You know, things got a little disrupted there. And a lot of teachers look at these outcomes and have a hard time understanding how to work with them, mainly because not many teachers have received any kind of professional development on how to actually teach to these standards. So what I did is I went in, I looked at the outcomes, I unpacked them, I made sense of them, and then I presented them to teachers in one session where I walked them through the whole backwards design approach. But then in the follow-up session, what I want to do is I want to show them what backwards design actually looks like in action. So I ran a purposeful phys ed lesson in which I showed teachers, here are the learning targets that are aligned to the outcomes that we talked about earlier. Pay attention to the activities we're going to be playing and think about how they're purposely designed to help you be able to apply those new skills, knowledge, and understandings that we're exploring here in the lesson. And then also be mindful of the different ways that we're going about both reflection, self-assessment, peer assessment, all of those things, so that at all times you know where you're at in your learning progress and you know what you can be doing next in order to close the gap between where you are right now and where you want to be. The active session was super well received, and I gotta say, it was like a ton of fun to actually like be teaching again and being able to run activities and helping teachers just see how when you make everything align, there's just this strong sense of intention that is infused within the lessons. The teacher feels it, the students feel it, and really you go into your teaching with so much more confidence because you've got this strong sense of clarity in regards to like what you're teaching, why you're teaching it, and how you're going to help your students master the content that you're introducing. Now, you might be able to tell from the speed at which I'm speaking and how fired up I get up talking about this stuff. And I know that the teachers of the conference definitely felt it. But I love talking about backwards design. I love talking about how to be really intentional with our teaching and how to maximize the impact that our instruction can have given all the constraints that we work with in a physical education context. And if this is something that you also feel really passionate about and that you want to be learning more, I highly recommend that you check out all the amazing things that are happening over at PhysEdU. Now, if you don't know what PhysEdU is, PhysEdU is the membership-based professional growth community that I quietly launched back in June, and I've been dedicating almost all of my time, energy, and attention to ever since. For years, I've had teachers ask me to consider starting a membership site for thephysicaleducator.com. And the reason is that they wanted to make it easier for them to be able to access the resources that I create and share there, as well as all of the different content that I've produced over the 12 plus years of me running the website. Now, like most things I do, I took my time kind of exploring options and intentionally designing something that was going to be innovative and that tied into my vision of every child on the planet having access to effective, meaningful physical education. PhysEdU's purpose is to help you unlock and grow your potential to be an outstanding physical educator. I'm so crazy passionate about the project and the community that we're building there, and I really hope that you'll consider joining us on campus. There are a variety of membership options, each with its own set of benefits, and I think that even the entry-level tier packs a ton of punch given the $5 a month price tag. And the other tiers, the benefits include everything from access to exclusive posts and content, members-only events and workshops, a brand new games database, and of course, instant access to all of the premium resources that you can find on thephysicaledgecare.com. If you'd like to learn more and see if Phys-Ed U's a good fit for you, visit thephysicaledgecare.com/membership. Again, that's thephysicaledgecare.com/membership. All right, how about we start exploring that lesson that I put together? Okay, so like I said before, the lesson that I'm about to present was an active session that I ran at the TAPE conference, and it was a follow-up to a lecture-style session in which I broke down the new revised Nova Scotia physical education curriculum and helped teachers make sense of the different outcomes that are there, and then show them the backwards design process that you can use to go from an outcome to a learning target to an assessment tool to a game. Now, I'm not going to talk about the Nova Scotia curriculum in this podcast because there's probably a lot more American teachers listening than there are Nova Scotian teachers. So I am going to use the Shape America language, but I just want to do a quick comparison between the two so that you understand. Here in Nova Scotia, we have curriculum outcomes that are the equivalent of the national standards in the Shape National Standards and Grade Level Outcomes document. Below curriculum outcomes, we have learning indicators, which are basically, they can line up to the grade level outcomes. They're a little bit different than grade level outcomes, but they're the equivalent. And then underneath that, in the Nova Scotia curriculum, there are outlined concepts and skills, which isn't present in the Shape America document, but is something that you can get to through unpacking each one of the outcomes. So let me just walk you quickly through the outcomes and indicators or standards and grade level outcomes that I worked with to design this lesson. So the outcome I selected was an outcome that reads, learners will apply decision-making skills to fundamental movement skills and movement concepts during different types of physical activities. So you can kind of see why I need to really grapple with these things to make sense of them, because right off the bat, that's pretty vague and it can be a little hard for you to know where to move forward from there. But luckily, there are indicators that break it down a little bit. Now, I won't read all the indicators for this outcome, but I will read the one that I decided to move forward with to design this lesson. And that indicator is apply offensive and defensive strategies and tactics in a wide variety of activities. Now, as I worked with that indicator and I started unpacking it using the different tools that I use to grapple with outcomes and to make sense of them, and I have a really, really extensive post on PhysEdU about how to grapple with grade level outcomes and gain as much clarity as possible. So again, so you can feel highly confident in your teaching. So by grappling with that indicator, I basically broke it down to two parts. On one side, I decided to break it down into a content block that reads, apply offensive tactics in a wide variety of activities. And then on the other side, it's the same thing, but for defensive. So apply defensive tactics in a wide variety of activities. Now, I'm going to just focus on the offensive side here because I want to keep the podcast short. And I also want to make sure that we're not getting too confused. But if you have ever worked with me in terms of learning how to unpack outcomes or read any of my posts, or if you're a PhysEdU member and you've read the Grappling with Grade Level Outcomes post, you know that once you've broken the outcome down into this like content blocks level, now you have to do the hard work of trying to tease out all the skills, knowledge, and understandings that are packed within it. And from that collection, that like brain dump that you go through as you're trying to figure everything out, you then design three student learning indicators, one for skill, one for knowledge, and one for understanding. Now, the indicators that I decided to move forward with for this lesson were, one, I can apply a variety of offensive tactics to create space in invasion games. Two, I know a variety of offensive tactics that can be used to create space in invasion games. And three, I understand how space influences decision-making in invasion game situations. Now, just a little note here, you might have realized that I'm spending a lot of time focusing on space and on tactics that help create space. And this was because of those skills and concepts that are provided in the curriculum document that help you make sense of each student learning indicator. So that's kind of how the unpacking process led to me being able to make these decisions on which student learning indicators to move forward with as I designed the rest of the unit and the lessons. Now, what those indicators do is that they serve as evidence of learning. They help me know when students have got it, when they've successfully reached the level that I want them to be able to reach at that grade level. And with that information, then I will go out and I'll design a learning roadmap. So if you've never seen my learning roadmaps before, they're student-friendly, qualitative rubrics that help students understand what learning will look like across four levels. Not yet, getting there, got it, wow. Now, the roadmap's really important because it's an assessment tool. It helps students determine where they're going. It helps them reflect on where they are now, and it helps them set goals that are going to allow them to close the gap between those two spaces. So these learning roadmaps, they get presented in the lesson. And that was one thing that I think teachers took away from the session was the fact that, you know, like a roadmap or a rubric, sorry, isn't something that like I keep at my desk and just look at when I'm grading. It's something that lives in each and every lesson that students can go look and read and make use of as they go about their learning. Okay, so at this point, I've unpacked the outcome, I've determined the evidence of learning, I also selected assessment tools and designed learning activities, but I'm just going to present them as the lesson. I'm ready to move forward into my lesson, so let me talk to you about how that actually played out and what it looked like in action. So the first thing I did when I was running the session is I selected 24 participants for the lesson. I always believed that 24 is like the magical number in phys ed. It's just like the perfect amount of students to be able to run a successful lesson and create enough groupings and a variety of groupings that are going to allow students to really interact with each other and learn from one another throughout the lesson. So one thing I've been working on for a while now, I'm not super ready to share it, but I am going to share it here, is I'm working on a resource called the Mix and Match Squad Codes. And what that is basically each student in class is assigned a code, and that code includes a shape, a color, a letter, and a number. And the way that the codes all work together is that if I ask students to get into their shape groups, what that will do is it will create groups of six students, so four groups of six students. If I ask students to get into their letter groups, it will create groups of three students. If I ask students to get into their color groups, it will create six groups of four students. So it's just a really quick way to get students to quickly move between different types of groupings for different activities and purposes throughout the lesson. This was the first time that I was running it as part of a session. What I did is I made name badges and wrote out the codes on them. And then I gave 24 name badges out to participants so that, you know, I had a make-believe kind of student roster that I could work with as I ran the session. So once I had my class together, I started the lesson off with a what, why, how discussion. So a what, why, how discussion is when you introduce the what, why, and how of the lesson, meaning what are we learning today, why are we learning that, and how will we know when we've learned it. So the what for this lesson was how to use offensive tactics to create space in invasion games. The why, in this case, I wrote out the why because I was going into a presentation session, but I always recommend that teachers provide students an opportunity to be able to come up with their own why so that they can find that meaning and find ways of making the lesson personally relevant to them. But in this case, the why that I shared with the students was that basically having a lot of tricks up your sleeve when you're playing games helps you have fun as you work to outwit and outplay your opponents. It's that challenge piece that comes into play that allows you to kind of have fun and push you to be your best and find different ways of experiencing success along the way. So that was the why of the lesson. Now the how are the specific learning targets for that lesson. And pay attention to how these learning targets are written and how they relate back to those indicators that I mentioned earlier. Okay, because this is very important that the targets align to what are the unit level goals, which are based off of the curriculum outcomes. So for this lesson, there were two learning targets. One of them was, I know a variety of offensive tactics that help create space. And the second one was, I can use a few, in brackets 2 to 3, offensive tactics to create space in invasion games. So this is where we started the lesson off, okay? A clear understanding of what it is that we're working on, why it's important, and what our targets are for that day. So before I got the students into their first activity, what I did is I invited them to do a quick self-assessment to try to think about where they believe they were at in regards to their ability to use a few offensive tactics to create space in invasion games. And the way I did this is that on the whiteboard, the learning roadmap was there. I have 4 learning tags, so not yet getting there, got it, wow, in big colorful cards on the whiteboard. And then I had my set of assessment magnets ready to go. So assessment magnets are magnets that I use to help students quickly celebrate progress and set goals for their learning and also reflect on where they're currently at. Each magnet has a number on it. And if you remember what I was saying before about the mix and match squad codes, each student is assigned a number. So 1 through 24. So the students would go find the number, the magnet that matches their number, and then place their magnet underneath the level where they believe they're currently at in regards to being able to use a few offensive tactics to create space. So students went right in, set that up. As soon as they were done kind of doing that self-assessment, what I then invited them to do is to go find their play area. And the way that they would do this is that they had to first find their squad mates that had the same shape as them. So again, on those mix and match squad codes, there were 4 shapes: stars, triangles, squares, and circles. So all the stars got together, the triangles together, the circles together, the squares together. And what this did is that it quickly gave me 4 teams of 6. I had 4 play areas set up, and they all went to their first play area for the first activity of the lesson. So just before I introduce the first build of the activity, I just want to help you visualize the play area setup, because the play area setup will remain the same for all of the builds that we'll be working on throughout the lesson, and we are able to use them for all the games. And I also want to say that all of this information, visuals, the assessment tools, diagrams of the activities, they're all available on PhysEdU. I just wrote up a huge post in which I'm sharing basically everything that I'm talking about here, but put a ton of visuals so that's really easy for you to see how I organize the classroom. And that's available to all PhysEdU members regardless of tier. So if you're interested in learning more, feel free to go check that out. So the play area was set up where there was a cone, and the cone was within a hoop, and then around the hoop was a large circle made with practice cones. So once each shape squad was set up at their play area, what I did is I invited the squads to get into a circle formation, so outside of the large circle that's made with the practice cones. And then the first build of the activity was just group juggling. So what group juggling is I go to each squad, I give them a ball, and then the challenge is for them to be able to practice passing the ball around the circle, trying to find a pattern that leads to everybody getting to touch the ball before it goes back to the first person who had it, and the ball never being passed to somebody who is your direct neighbor, so immediately to your right or immediately to your left. If you're doing group juggling, one thing that you can do to make the build even more fun is once students find that pattern, you can start adding additional balls into the pattern. So now, instead of just passing one ball around, they're simultaneously passing 2 balls or 3 balls or 4 balls. And then it just increases the challenge and the speed at which they have to be able to pass and receive. And it's a ton of fun. But what I was using this build for was for just a few specific reasons. The first one was to allow the participants to get familiar with the play area. The second was to give them time to connect with their new teammates. So getting that social interaction piece in, okay, getting to know people. Again, we're at a conference session where people don't necessarily know each other, so it's important just to introduce yourself and have some fun passing the ball around. The third reason was to provide them an opportunity just to kind of warm up and get comfortable with passing and receiving the ball that we were going to be using for all the different builds of the activity. And then finally, the last reason I had them do group juggling here was I went around to each play area. So I went to visit each of the 4 teams, and I asked them to define tactics, because in the lesson we're talking about offensive tactics, but if that academic language is out of reach for the learners, then they're going to have a really hard time reaching their learning targets. So the first thing I wanted to do was just make sure that all the participants / students, the teacher, everyone, were all on the same page in regard to what it is that we're working on that day. So I asked everybody to define their tactics, and then once they had, I brought the whole class in together, and then we kind of came up with a common understanding of the term. So each group got to share a little bit about what they believe tactics were. And then based off of all that feedback, we came up with a common understanding that wound up being that tactics are action you take to gain an advantage in specific game situations. And I was happy to move forward with that, okay? We all knew what we were talking about. We knew what we were trying to do here today. We were ready to move on to the next build. So for build two of the game, the students were going to play guard the pin. So once they got back to their play area, each team would select two players who would start off as defenders. Defenders had to stay inside of the large circle that was made of those practice cones, but they weren't allowed to step inside the hoop where the cone was. And the defender's job was to try to protect the cone, okay? So they're trying to protect the cone either by blocking shots or by intercepting passes. And as you can imagine, the offensive players, what they're trying to do is they're trying to work together to try and hit that cone with using an overhand throw. When the offensive player has the ball in hand, they were limited to pivoting. They couldn't walk around with the ball. But any other offensive player who was a non-ball carrier, they were allowed to move around the circle however they liked. If a player blocked a shot or if they intercepted a pass, so if a defender blocked a shot, took a pass away, then that defender and the last offensive player who had possession of the ball would switch roles so that you weren't stuck being a defender all the time. And then a couple times throughout the activity, I just invited people to switch out their defenders. Now, again, just to kind of situate you here, this is a conference session, right? So I've got 24 participants who are engaging in this lesson that I'm running. And then I had a whole bunch of other participants who are on the outside kind of watching. And what I wanted to bring their attention to was what I was doing as a teacher during this time. Because the students are engaged in the activity. But remember, this activity has been selected to help students reach the targets that we've set for the lesson, which is knowing a variety of offensive tactics and using a few different offensive tactics as you play, all with the goal of trying to create space. So what I'm doing is I'm not just standing back watching people play the game. I'm going around to each group and I'm engaging in what I call tactical talk. So a tactical talk is a quick, really focused discussion that serves to help students refocus on the student, on the learning target for that day. So what I would do is I was going around to each group and I would ask them two questions. The first question was, what kind of shot do you want to be able to take in this game? And through the discussion, what I was trying to guide the students toward was basically you want to take an open shot, right? You're going to have the highest chance of success if you've got a wide open shot. And then the follow-up question to that was, what do you and your teammates have to do to create those types of shot opportunities within the game? And that's where we started thinking about, well, okay, what we need to do is we need to be creating some open space so that we get those clear shots off. So tactical talk is one of the things that I'm doing to help students reflect on where they're going in their learning. And then the second thing I would do is that as the groups are playing, I would observe what was happening. And then whenever I had the opportunity to do so, I would call for a freeze replay. So a freeze replay, if you're familiar with tactical games or teaching games for understanding, a freeze replay is a tactic that a teacher can use to stop the game and then kind of rewind the game. So ask the students to go back a couple actions and then replay it, sometimes in slow motion, and talk aloud about what their decision making is and why they're taking specific actions. The way I was using freeze replays in this lesson was I was trying to highlight different tactics that students were using in order to create space on offense. So whenever I would see students, you know, do a ball fake, or a couple students were doing like handoffs, or, changing the direction of the passes, whatever they were doing to try and shift the defense around and try and create that space, that's when I would try to freeze the game and then have them walk through it to become aware of the tactics that they're using as they play. Now, once I'd done this a couple times with each group, I then called the whole class in for our second class discussion of the day. And during that discussion, what I did is I invited each one of the teams to share one of the tactics that they had used as they were playing. What I wanted to bring to the students' attention was the fact that there are a variety of tactics out there that exist. And we also talked about the benefits of being able to use a variety of tactics, as that makes you less predictable and harder to defend when you're playing in an invasion game. Now, following that discussion is when I introduced the first like physical assessment tool that the students were going to get to work with during that day. And this tool was an offensive tactics growth sheet. So what a growth sheet is I like creating assessment tools that students get to come back to at different times throughout a unit and continue to add to it or edit it or change things up as their level of understanding and ability changes. And the reason I like doing this is because it allows students to become aware of the growth and transformation that they're going through as they learn. So for this specific unit or in this lesson, what I designed was an offensive tactics growth sheet. So on it, the students, obviously they wrote like their name and their class. And then there was three columns, a yellow column, a red column, and a green column. We were only going to be using the yellow column for this day, but I'll explain all three so that you know. So the yellow column was just a list of all of the offensive tactics that they were able to, that they knew and that they were able to write down. So again, one of the outcomes for the unit was being able to know a variety of tactics. So as you know, we're having discussions, we're doing freeze replay, these different tactics are coming to light. Students are invited at any time to go and add to their growth sheet so they could write down more. The second column was the red column, and that was tactics that I like using. So as we start writing down tactics, what I didn't want students to do is I don't want them to start editing themselves. I just want them to like write down as many options as possible. You know, like if you're saying like, oh, look at your shoelace, like watch out and try and fool somebody that way. Fine, write that down as a tactic. It might be funny, it might be a little silly. You might choose not to use it later on. That's why I want to have that second column where they can be like, okay, these are the tactics that I actually like using in the game. And the third column, the green column, was tactics that I use while I play. And this would be for a future lesson during which the students would be peer assessed. And what the student performing the peer assessment would do is they would observe the student playing, and anytime they would see them performing an offensive tactic, they would like put a little check beside that tactic. And the goal is for students to become aware of which tactics they lean on and how many different tactics they're actually using, or are they always just using the same ones? In which case, again, they would become predictable as players. So this was the growth sheet. So after we had that discussion about the different tactics that were being used, I gave the growth sheets out to the participants, and they were invited to go write down just a couple offensive tactics that they had heard about or that they had seen being used in their games underneath that yellow column so that they're starting to fill out that assessment sheet. Now, on the topic of assessment, another thing I invited participants to do here and reminded them that at any time during the lesson they could go and do this was to go and move their assessment magnet on the board. One thing I love about the assessment magnets is that it's such a simple, fast way for students to celebrate the progress that they're making in their learning. My favorite thing about it is when students come and ask me, it's like, you know, I'm at getting there. I'm not quite at got it yet, but I feel like I moved forward. Can I still move my magnet over a bit, but still be on there getting there? I'm like, yeah, like obviously, because I want you to feel proud of this. I want you to feel like you've just achieved a win. So go and do that if it makes you feel good and it keeps you on track for your goals and it keeps you motivated to keep working hard. Okay, so once this assessment kind of break was done, I sent students back out for the third build of the activity they would be getting into. And normally this activity has four builds, but we only got to three here. And this build was actually a game that I learned from Open Phys Ed called Switch. Now, I just want to remind you the learning targets for the lesson. I know a variety of offensive tactics to create space in invasion games, and I can use a variety of or a few offensive tactics to create space in invasion games. When students were playing Guard the Pin, you know, two of the six students on the team are defenders. And when you're on defense, you're not in an offensive situation where you can apply your tactics as frequently as I'd like you to be so that you're able to go deeper into your learning and mastery of those skills. So this is something that I work with teachers all the time with, where, you know, we look at the game design and ask ourselves, what situation does a student need to find themselves in order to kind of have to apply new learning to be successful within that situation? So you want students to find themselves in that situation as often as possible, because that's a situation that calls for them applying new learning. And then beyond those, that situation, what are the game conditions that you can create that's going to allow those situations to kind of organically present themselves as frequently as possible within the game? So in other words, how can you tailor or design a game that's going to allow students to get in the most reps possible? So this is why I chose to evolve the game from that second build of Guard the Pin into this third build of Switch, as it keeps students in those offensive situations more frequently. So in Switch, instead of playing 4v2, you're playing 3v3, three defenders on the inside, three offensive players on the outside of the circle. Same rules as before. The offensive players are trying to knock the cone over using an overhand throw. And when they have possession of the ball, they can only pivot. Everybody else can kind of move around. The difference is with Switch is that whenever a shot is taken, whenever the ball is intercepted, the defending team yells switch. And when switch is called, the offensive and defensive teams have to trade positions as fast as possible. So offense becomes defense, defense becomes offense. And you're doing this quickly. You want to be able to do those fast transitions, because if you're going slow about it, you're basically giving the other team an advantage, right? So what I like about Switch in this situation is that it's allowing students to fall back into those offensive situations as frequently as possible, so that they can work on applying those tactics to create space and get those open shots. Now again, let's zoom out. We've got the 24 participants playing, but we've got all those participants on the outside, and I want them paying attention to what I'm doing in order to help students stay focused on the learning targets and keep going deeper and deeper into their learning and mastery. So at this point, I'm continuing to move around, providing feedback to students, calling tactics being used as I see them, doing freeze replays, and I'm also assessing using teacher observation. All right, teacher observation gets a bad rap because oftentimes we're like, well, you're just watching them, you're not really doing anything. That's not true. I think teacher observation is like the most powerful tool you have in order to really observe what's happening in your students' learning. I think what's important with observation, though, is that you have some kind of tool that allows you to record your observations on the fly so that you can then use that information later to either tailor the lessons or tailor your feedback to help each and every student achieve as much success as possible. So the tool that I use to record my observations are my numbers gradebooks, which I have on my iPad. So numbers gradebooks are basically fancy spreadsheets that I've created. And what I like about them is that they use the same language and color coding as the learning roadmaps. So if I'm observing a student for a specific indicator, I just tap the appropriate cell, and then let's say I select getting there, it automatically shifts it to getting there, and the cell turns purple so that it's really visual. I can see the students that are not yet getting there, got it, wow, which is great because then at the start of a lesson, I can see, okay, these are the students I really need to touch base with and work with. The other thing about numbers gradebooks that's great, and this kind of blew a bunch of teachers' minds there when I was presenting, is that based on the student grade scale that I created for my teaching, as I update the gradebook, it automatically updates the student's grade. So all of this is kind of happening so that I'm not sitting around the desk trying to pull all these sheets together and figure out what a student's grade is. It's happening automatically so that I can just focus on providing the kind of feedback and instruction that every kid needs in order to be able to continue to grow. So I'm going around, I'm observing, I'm giving feedback, calling freeze replays, updating my numbers gradebook, you know, working with the students. And then what I did is at the end of the lesson, I called everybody in and I decided to switch up the teams really fast. And I did this, again, using those mix and match squad codes by inviting students to get into their letter squads, which means that they'd be getting into small squads of three participants. Once everybody was in their letter squads, and this was super fast, and they had a lot of fun trying to find the other letters that they were paired up with, what I did is I gave them 60 seconds to try to list as many different offensive tactics that they could think of that came up during their play. Now, what's great about this is that because I switch up the squads, you know, now all of a sudden they're working with people from that are coming from different teams that may have explored different tactics than they had ever seen while they were playing. To end the activity, what I did is we did a whip around. So a whip around is a discussion protocol that invites all students or all groups to contribute to the conversation. So how it works is I went in alphabetical order because, like I said, I got them in their letter squads. So I asked the A squad to give me one offensive tactic that helps create space in invasion games. They gave me the response. I write it down on the board. Then we move on to B. They've got to do the same. They've got to give me a tactic, but it can't be a tactic that's already been written on the board. So what happens is that, you know, a lot of these students, as they're playing, they're coming up with the same kind of answers because they're playing the same kind of game and they're playing in similar ways. But as it kind of goes down the line all the way to like the H group, you know, they're really thinking kind of like outside the box in terms of like they're digging deep into that list. So it's promoting them to kind of writing out that exhaustive list, but also thinking as broadly as possible. Again, one thing I want to reiterate is that I'm writing down all these tactics. I'm not judging them. I'm not editing them. I'm writing them all down so the students see that there's a variety of them and that they can, as I'm writing them on the board, they can add them to their assessment sheet, their growth sheet that I provide them with. And then later on, we'll work on determining which ones are most effective. That's what that second column is for. The tactics I like using means the tactics that I think are most effective when playing. So we're just trying to get as many as possible. And that was it. So we ended the conversation. We ended that discussion. Class wrapped up. But the one thing I want to bring to the participants' attention, everybody's watching attention, was the way that the lesson was aligned to the student learning targets and how successful it was at helping them reach those targets. By the end of the lesson, the students had filled out a list of offensive tactics that they had identified or either through play or through discussion and track those on their sheet. And they were able to practice those offensive tactics in the game, get feedback, have them be brought to their attention through feedback and freeze replays and group discussions. And I was able to capture evidence of that learning through my observations, my grade books, and all that. So overall, it was just a very neat and kind of tailored tightly designed lesson. But I wanted to work with the teachers to show that, like, it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be this big crazy thing. All it really starts with is having a really clear understanding of what you're teaching and how you're going to track your students' learning as they work towards mastering whatever it is that those learning outcomes are. So like I said, the session was well received. I got a lot of feedback afterwards from teachers who have reached out to me by email, just thanking me for the gains, but also grateful for a deeper understanding of how to work with the provincial curriculum. And that just makes me happy because, like I said, I'm a curriculum dork. I love this stuff, but I also love knowing that teachers feel really empowered and feel that they're able to go about their teaching as confidently as possible, because it's a terrible feeling when you feel that you don't have the support that you need in order to grow and become the teacher that you want to be. And that's why I launched PhysEdU, and that's why the content that I write there, you know, like this blog post on that I've kind of just shared with you here in podcast form, but a lot of the other content that we work there, it's all about helping teachers grow, making sure that they're feeling supported and making sure that they have everything they need to thrive. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to know your feedback in terms of these walkthrough lessons, because I could do a lot of these. I eat this stuff up and you know, there's a lot of experience from my teaching that I'd love to share with you. And I hope that I achieved my goal here in just helping you see how you can kind of align all the different elements of your teaching to be as impactful, intentional, and purposeful as possible in your teaching. So again, if you want to keep learning with me, if this is the kind of stuff that you're into, if this is something that you feel you're lacking in your professional growth journey, just go check out the landing page for PhysEdU. It's at thephysicaleducator.com/membership. If you got any questions or anything like that, shoot me an email or hit me up on Twitter. I'd be happy to talk to you more about it. And I'm just really excited to be able to get to work with teachers and help them feel great about their teaching. So once again, everybody, my name is Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com. This is the PhysEd Show podcast. Thank you so much for listening in, and happy teaching.